parenting. Helping individuals adapt to a flat world is not only the job of governments and companies, it is also the job of parents. They too need to know in what world their kids are growing up and what it will take for them to thrive. Put simply, we need a new generation of parents ready to administer tough love. There comes a time when you've got to put away the Game Boys, turn off the television set, put away the iPod, and get your kids down to work. David Baltimore, the Nobel Prize-winning president of Caltech, knows what it takes to get your child ready to compete against the cream of the global crop. He told me that he is struck by the fact that almost all the students who make it to Caltech, one of the best scientific universities in the world, come from public schools, not from private schools, that sometimes nurture a sense that just because you are there, you are special and entitled. I look at the kids who come to Caltech, and they grew up in families that encourage them to work hard and to put off a little bit of gratification for the future, and to understand that they need to hone their skills to play an important role in the world, Baltimore said. I give parents enormous credit for this, because these kids are all coming from public schools that people are calling failures. Public education is producing these remarkable students, so it can be done. Their parents have nurtured them to make sure that they realize their potential. I think we need a revolution in this country when it comes to parenting around education. In July 2004, comedian Bill Cosby used an appearance at Jesse Jackson's Rainbow/Push Coalition and Citizenship Education Fund's annual conference to upbraid African Americans for not teaching their children proper grammar and for black kids not striving to learn more themselves. Cosby had already declared, "Everybody knows it's important to speak English except these knuckleheads. You can't be a doctor with that kind of crap coming out of your mouth." Referring to African Americans who squandered their chances for a better life, Cosby told the Rainbow Coalition, "You've got to stop beating up your women because you can't find a job, because you didn't want to get an education, and now you're earning minimum wage. You should have thought more of yourself when you were in high school, when you had an opportunity." When Cosby's remarks attracted a lot of criticism, Reverend Jackson defended him, arguing, "Bill is saying, let's fight the right fight. Let's level the playing field. Drunk people can't do that. Illiterate people can't do that." That is right. Americans are the ones who increasingly need to level the playing field. Not by pulling others down, not by feeling sorry for ourselves, but by lifting ourselves up. But when it comes to how to do that, Cosby was saying something that is important for black and white Americans, rich and poor. Education, whether it comes from parents or schools, has to be about more than just cognitive skills. It also has to include character building. The fact is, parents and schools and cultures can and do shape people. I fear, though, that things will have to get worse before they get better. The flattening of the world is moving ahead apace, and barring war or some catastrophic terrorist event, nothing is going to stop it. But what can happen is a decline in our standard of living if more Americans are not empowered and educated to participate in a world where all the knowledge centers are being connected. We have within our society all the ingredients for American individuals to thrive in this world, but if we squander those ingredients, we will stagnate. I repeat, this is not a test. This is a crisis, and as Paul Romer has so perceptively warned, a crisis is a terrible thing to waste. Companies and the flat world. Time and time again, entrepreneurs and innovators from all different types of businesses, large and small, told me that just in the last couple of years, they had been able to do things they had never dreamed possible before, or that they were being forced to do things they had never dreamed necessary before. I am convinced that these entrepreneurs and CEOs were responding to the triple convergence. Each was figuring out a strategy for his or her company to thrive or at least survive in this new environment. If you want to grow and flourish in a flat world, you'd better learn how to change and align yourself with it. What I have learned in researching The World is Flat is that the companies that have managed to flourish today are the ones that best understand the triple convergence and have developed their own strategies for coping with it, as opposed to trying to resist it. This chapter is an effort to highlight a few of their rules and strategies. Rule number one. When the world goes flat and you are feeling flattened, reach for a shovel and dig inside yourself. Don't try to build walls. I learned this valuable lesson from my best friends from Minnesota, Jill and Ken Greer. Some 25 years ago, Jill and Ken, whose brother Bill I profiled earlier, started their own multimedia company, Greer & Associates, which specialized in developing commercials for TV and doing commercial photography for retail catalogs. In early April 2004, Ken and Jill came to Washington to spend a weekend for my wife's 50th birthday. I could tell that Ken had a lot on his mind regarding his business. We took a long walk one morning in rural Virginia. I told him about the book I was writing, and he told me about how his business was doing. After a while, we realized that we were both talking about the same thing. The world had grown flat, and it had happened so fast and had affected his business so profoundly that he was still wrestling with how to adjust. "Freelancers," said Greer. "We never really competed against freelancers before. In the last month, we have lost 3 jobs to freelance solo practitioners who used to work for good companies and have experience and then just went out on their own. We used to feel bad losing to another firm, but now we are losing to another person." "How did this change happen so fast?" I asked.